You agree with that this morning? Hey, I want you to mark your calendars. We didn't get this up on the board, but May 22nd. Everybody say May 22nd. May 22nd. We have a great Grace teacher coming our way. Rick Manis is coming with his wife. They are just a super blessing. You're going to love them. He is just a great guy, great teacher of Grace. We met them maybe a couple years back. Just love them. He travels. He teaches Grace. You're gonna enjoy it. It's gonna just be such a blessing for you to hear him. But this morning you get to hear me. So here I am. And I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad you're here this morning. And I want you to stand to some familiar scripture over to John 6:63 this morning. John 6:63. How many believe the words of Jesus? How many are thankful for the words of Jesus? Well, here's the words of Jesus. It says, It is the Spirit. Who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. And listen to what he says. The words, everybody say the words. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. So the word, the spirit and the life are in the words that Jesus speaks to us, right? Amen? Let's hold up our Bibles this morning and say it like you mean it. Come on, say it strong with Pastor today. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess my mind is clear, my heart is open to receive God's word, and I will never be the same, never, never the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to somebody and say, let the word be in you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Man, I love Jesus, you know, and Jesus is just, he is so awesome. And I really want to talk to you this morning about the power of life in the word. The power of life in the Word. There is so much power in the Word of God. And in the words that Jesus spoke to us, there is so much power. And when we come to church and we sit under the Word or you're reading the Word, life is actually taking place in us as we receive the Word. Actually, we're being transformed as we see the Word on the inside of us. Amen. And here, it's so awesome because Jesus says here that the flesh doesn't profit anything, but it's the Spirit and it's the Word. And he said, the words I speak, they are Spirit and they are life. And the word life there is Zoe. We know that word. Some of you studied that. Some of you maybe studied Greek some. But that word is God quality life. That God wants to give us the same quality of life that he has. God quality life. You know, listen, the enemy wants to bring death, but God wants to bring life. And in the world we're living in, we have to guard our minds because so much of this world is full of death. And I mean, there's just seemingly death everywhere you look, and thoughts of death, and it's not just about the dying, but it's about things that bring death. Negative thoughts. Anybody ever have to guard against a negative thought? Amen. Negative thoughts. Come on, somebody. You know, thoughts of discouragement, thoughts of despair, you know, thoughts that I'm not going to make it. All these things that bombard us on a daily basis, that's why we have to have this word hidden in our heart. This word is our shield, amen? That's what Ephesians tells us, amen? We have the word, we have the sword of the Spirit. It's our sword that gives us life and gives us the quality of life that God wants us to have. God wants you to have quality of life. In fact, the word says active. This word, Zoe, means active, vigorous life. Oh, I like that. Active, vigorous life. Active, vigorous life working on the inside of me this morning. Active, vigorous life. Amen? Not slowing down, not being subject to what the world says, not being subject to disease and age. As the world says, I went to a birthday party of a friend of mine last night. He invited me and Holly. They had a huge celebration, you know. and he just turned 70, and just a great guy. And you know, he got up, but you could tell that life had not been easy for him, that life had been hard. And I want to tell you, listen to me this morning. The way of the transgressor is hard. The way of the believer is not supposed to be hard. Amen. We are supposed to enjoy life so much that I believe our youth is being renewed like the eagles. Oh, come on, somebody. Amen. And it is so good that God wants to give us this life. I had the privilege the other night. Ken and Andrew invited us, and David, of course, is the head of the opera, and we went to see two operas together, and it was awesome. It was about the Holocaust and about the camp and the children in the camp during the Holocaust, where they'd take 30 kids and put them in this, what they call a house, and it was horrible living conditions. But what really thrilled me was there was a gentleman there that David Starkey introduced, that he came up on the stage, and he was a survivor as a child in one of those camps. And he was 89 years young. Isn't it amazing how the world will say 89 years old? I ain't gonna speak like that. 89 years young. And he shared with us, and it was so interesting and so inspirational. Not only is he 89 years young, but he's still a professor actively teaching at Purdue. Turn to somebody and say, there is hope for you. There is hope for you. So what I want us to really get a hold of this morning is there is such life that we have at our disposal in God's Word. There's such life that is just oozing out of God's Word for us to live in, that we don't have to live in the negative things of this life or this world, but we can live in the positive aspect of all of God's promises that He has for you and me found in His Word. I choose to live in the Word today. I choose to let my mind dwell on the good things of God and on the goodness of God. Look at Psalm 1. Look at Psalm 1, verse 1. Look what the psalmist said here. Blessed is the man. Turn to somebody and say, I'm a blessed man. How about you? Now, if you're a woman, don't say that. If you're a woman, say, I'm a blessed woman. I just want to make sure. You're a blessed woman. You're a blessed man. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But what does he delight in? His delight is in the law. Of course, today we'd say his delight is in the word of the Lord. His delight is in the word of the Lord, and in his word he meditates. He mulls on it. He chews on it. He thinks about it. He just is consumed with his thought life being the word of God. He meditates on it how? How often? Day and night. When you wake up in the middle of the night and all of a sudden a negative thought comes into your mind, turn that negative thought into something positive and begin to quote the Word of God and begin to bring life into that dead situation. Day and night, man. We're talking about the Word of God just consuming us day and night. Look at verse 3. I love this. What happens? What happens when this takes place? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Notice he didn't say planted by the river of water. He said planted by the rivers of water. God has sources that he brings to us daily so that the river never runs dry. It's not just one river, but it's rivers of water. And we're planted there. That's where we take plant. I noticed here lately, and if you'll notice, the first tree that comes out is a willow tree. Has anybody ever noticed that? The willow tree is what usually springs forth in the spring. If you go out today and start looking for willow trees, you'll see leaves already on many of the willow trees. And you know why? Because willow trees require a vast amount of water. And many of them grow naturally by streams or ponds. You'll find willow trees. And they're the first one to spring forth. And he says, whose leaf also shall not wither. In other words, we don't have to be subject to disease, to sickness, to death prematurely because our leaf is not going to wither. And whatever he does shall what? shall prosper. Listen, that doesn't just mean financially. That's a part of it. But it means physically. It means soundly. It means in our mental capacity. Every area of our life, we should prosper. Hallelujah. Look at John 6:37 today. I want you to see this verse of scripture, John 7:37. Look what Jesus said here. He said, on the last day, that great day of the feast, John was speaking, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and what? Come to me and drink. Here's this water supply. Here's this word. He's speaking of the Spirit and the word of life. Listen to what he says next verse. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of what type of water? Living water. Life-giving, living water flows out of us. And he was talking about the Feast of Tabernacles here, and the priest would go to the well of Siloam. They'd get a pot full of water. They'd bring it back as a symbol, and they'd just pour it out on the altar. And Jesus saw this taking place, and he said, you know what? Man, you're going to thirst again, but if you've got this water, this is living water. This water produces life in you, amen? Not only life, but God life in you, amen? And it's the Spirit of God within us, flowing through us and out of us, producing this life. Look at verse 39, amen? But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Man, we've got living, life-giving water in us today. Living water, praise God, not stagnant water. You ever been around stagnant water? I used to duck hunt, and some of the places we'd go duck hunting at, it was real marshy, the water wasn't flowing, and if you stepped off in it, it stunk. Turn to somebody and say, God didn't want you stinking today, amen? God wants you drinking, and he wants you drinking from the life-giving, living water of Jesus Christ. It is nothing more refreshing, as Kay was saying as a young child, than just receiving all that God has for you this morning. God's got good for you. Turn to somebody and say, God's got good for you. God's got healing for you. God's got supply for you. Everything can be found in this word. This word is 66 bags of seed of life that's in us this morning. Turn to somebody and say, he's preaching a lot better than your amen today. Man, praise God. We have life in us. God desires us to have long life. Long life. He wants us to live strong. Amen? What's the purpose of having long life, Pastor? The purpose of having long life is so we can bless generations underneath us. See, God wants us to just not think about ourselves, but he wants us to raise up a generation, two, three, four, five generations underneath us and bless them with what we know. So as you get older, the whole point of you getting older is not just to get older. It's a point that you can take your wisdom, hopefully, and impart it into someone younger and share the gospel with them and share the good news with them. Amen? Now, I don't know about you, but I plan on living a long time. Five of you said amen. I said, I don't know about you, but I plan on living a long time. Because God's got purpose for me, and a man with purpose and vision can't die. Amen? And God's got purpose for you this morning. And he wants you to enjoy life. He wants you to enjoy it more abundantly. And he wants you to have a prosperous, healthy, long life. I want you to look at a verse of scripture this morning. Look at Psalm 116, verse 15. Psalm 1, how many have heard this at a funeral before? How many have heard this psalm quoted? Anybody? I probably used it at a few funerals. I was telling somebody the other day, I haven't done a whole lot of funerals in this church. Turn to somebody and say, that's a real good thing. You know why I believe? Because we preach life. And I don't turn to somebody and say, Pastor, he doesn't want to do your funeral. Amen. I want to see you live long, long life. Listen to what the scripture says here. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. How many have heard that and someone say, oh, you know, precious in the sight? How many just heard it used as a comfort scripture? How many's heard that? I want to flip your mind on this just a little bit this morning. Are you ready? The word precious actually means costly. So it would read like this: costly in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And what it means in this verse, it means that God doesn't delight in the death of his saints. But it means that it costs. He feels a sense of cost. When people die prematurely, I believe God feels a sense of cost. I'm just giving you what Scripture says, church. Amen. So when his people depart before their time, because that he has given to us, you know, all this life, and they just depart before their time, it says costly in the sight of the Lord. Wow. I mean, think about that a second. God has given us the ability to live a long life. Look at Philippians 1, 23, 24. I get this part of this from Paul. He said, for I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. Paul had the ability, I believe, to choose when he laid down his life. Paul knew about life in the Spirit. How many believe Paul knew about life in the Spirit, considering he wrote about two-thirds of the New Testament, right? He knew something about life in the Spirit. Amen? And part of the reason I believe people die prematurely is because really they lack wisdom. God wants us to be full of his wisdom. We have imparted in us the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Look at Proverbs 4:7. Look at this. The Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. Turn to somebody and say, it's the principal thing. It's the basic thing. Wisdom should be the basic thing. Therefore, do what? Get wisdom. Get it. Praise God. It is there. It's in us. It's already available to us. And in all you're getting, get understanding. And then he tells us why we should get it. Listen to this. Exalt her. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her, when you cling to her, when you hold on to her. And listen to the next promise. Length of days is in her what? Right hand, and in her left hand is what? Riches and honor. So with wisdom comes length of days, hallelujah, long days, long life, and also in her left hand is riches and honor. So when we grab hold of God's wisdom in our life, who is God's wisdom, by the way? God's wisdom is Jesus. Amen? And we grab hold of Jesus and we focus on the Lord, we have the wisdom of God operating in our life. The wisdom of God will tell you where to go. He'll tell you when you're driving out where to park at. He will speak to you how to raise your children. He will speak to you what your children are doing. Oh, come on, somebody. Amen. Teenagers don't like to hear this message. Amen. But the wisdom of God will train you and teach you and lead you in paths of righteousness. Amen. That's what God's wisdom does. And God's wisdom is Jesus, and Jesus is the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Word personified. And we have the Lord in our house and in our temple today. Amen. Hallelujah. Man, God's wisdom is there available for us. And the wisdom of God comes from the life of the Word. And when we put the life of the Word in us, and the more you have and listen to the life of the Word in the Spirit of God, the more you're directed by the Lord. I believe on 9/11, there were a lot of people that were directed not to go into those buildings that day. In fact, there were some that didn't go into that building that day. There are testimonies of people that didn't go into the building that day. I believe God's got wisdom for us to hear him clearly. Anybody else agree with that this morning? Do you believe God's wisdom can really be imparted to your life to direct your life? Amen? Hallelujah. God doesn't want you leaving here early. Amen. And the wisdom of God helps us. Praise the Lord. Look at Proverbs. Look at Job just a second. The wisdom of God is personified in Jesus Christ. Amen. Solomon, who wrote this, only received riches and honor, but he didn't receive length of days. He didn't receive length of days. Job, the oldest manuscript, was also someone who needed the wisdom of God, but Job didn't have a mediator. So both of them, both Solomon and both Job, were missing a mediator. But Job said this, "Nor is there any mediator between us who may lay his hand on us both." You know what? Today, we have a mediator. His name is Jesus Christ. He is our go-between. He is our intercessor. Praise God. He is always working on our behalf today. We have a mediator today where they did not have it. Therefore, we can embrace the wisdom of God and the anointing and the strength of God in our lives. God, you are so, so good. Look at Ephesians 6:1. I love this scripture. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Somebody say amen to that. Come on, parents, say amen to that. "Honor your father and mother." Honor, esteem them. "Honor your father and mother," which is the first commandment with promise. "That it may go well with," what? "You, and you may," what? Because if you don't, they're going to take you out. Boom. Right? You're gone. You're out of here. "That you may live long." That you may live long. It's clear from Scripture that long life is a blessing. Long life is a blessing. God wants you living long and living strong. Hallelujah. It is God life working in you. Amen. And you know, Hebrews 9:27, look at this. Hebrews 9:27, "And it's appointed for men to die once, but after this," what? "The judgment." So when we see this verse of scripture, many people, you know, think this verse of scripture is just, you know, talking about die at a certain age. And really, it's talking about that men are going to die once. It's appointed men to die once. All men are going to die once. But it doesn't have to be at a certain age, and it doesn't have to be young. Amen? In fact, there's a generation that's going to be here when the Lord comes. There's a generation that's going to see the coming of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'd like to be a part of that generation. Woo! Amen. I don't really care about going by the grave. I'd rather go up in the rapture. Anybody else with me here? Amen. And therefore, I want to be a part of that generation. And in order to be a part of that generation, I've got to live a little longer. Maybe a lot longer. Amen. But I want to be a part of what God has for me. Amen. And here's some good news for you today. If you're sick today, you don't have to be sick any longer. If you're in pain today, you don't have to be in pain any longer. God has already provided healing for us so that we can have long life. Oh, thank you, Pastor. Amen. We know Isaiah 53, verse 3 and 4, or verse 4 and 5. Let's look at it. "Surely he has borne our griefs." Born our griefs. Everybody say, "born our griefs," right? Surely he has borne our griefs. That word grief is diseases. "Surely has carried our sorrows." That word sorrow is pain. So if you have pain or you're at disease this morning, he's already bore it for you. He's already taken it for you. "He was wounded," verse 5, "he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace," because you're not in peace if you're in disease or sick. "But the chastisement of our shalom was upon him. And by his stripes we..." That's the good news. Amen. Your healing is paid for already on the cross. Matthew 9:35. "Then Jesus went about all the cities." Is Fishers a city? Used to be a town, now it's a city. "Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the," what? good news of the kingdom and healing some, healing a few, healing somebody with just a headache. No, what did he do? Heal what? Every sickness and every disease among them. So Pastor, what do we do? We dwell in the Word. We dwell on the Word. We dwell in Jesus. Look at Psalm 91:1. Look what we do. It says, he who dwells in the, you know who the secret place is? That's Jesus Christ. We're in the secret place. We dwell in the secret place of the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen? It refers to God's protection and God's promise. And look at verse 16. With long life I will, what? Satisfy him and show him my salvation. Who is salvation? Jesus Christ. He shows us Jesus. How does he show us Jesus? He shows us Jesus in the Word. And we get the Word in us, and we live long, and we live strong. Let me give you just a couple more verses. Psalm 92, verse 12 through 15. Holly, hand me a word there, if you would, babe. The water, please. Yep. Psalm 92, verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like a palm. Everybody say, I'm flourishing today. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted, look at verse 13. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Notice the flourishing. Notice the growing. This is a picture of the body of Christ. This is a picture of us. They shall, look at verse 14. They shall still bear fruit. Excuse me. Promise I don't have COVID. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and what? Fresh and what? Flourishing. And what do they do? Verse 15. To declare that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness where? In him. A few years back in Israel, scientists found a couple of palm seeds that were over 2,000 years old. And they decided, let's see what we do if we plant these seeds. Let's see if they will come forth. And they planted both of these palm trees, these palm seeds. And when they planted them, all of a sudden, they sprung to life. And those seeds begin to grow, those trees begin to grow, and they had two beautiful palm trees. You know what they called them? They called the one Methuselah. Right? Remember Methuselah in the Bible, the oldest guy in the Bible, right? Methuselah. You know what they called the other one? Hannah. You know what Hannah means? Grace. I really believe, listen to me, this generation that is receiving the grace message is receiving such life within that message that it's producing longevity and long life in us who have received this message. And the reason I believe that, because before we were in this message, we were living under a lot of death. And you'd go to church and what you'd hear is death and a little life. Death and a little life. Death and a little life. Death, 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 and a little life. Life, death, life, death, life, death. And all the time, you're exposing your mind to all the condemnation, shame, and guilt that's brought by the preaching of the law mixed with grace. But now you've come to understand what the gospel really is. And when you understand, I wrote this morning on Facebook. I wrote, when you have a full revelation of the finished work of Jesus and the true grace of God, it produces the life of God in you because there's no longer any death attached to that message. And when you have this message, it frees you from guilt, shame, and condemnation so that you may walk in the fullness of the Spirit of God and in the fullness of a daughter and son of God without any reservations. Oh, come on, somebody. Amen. And when you do that, oh, yeah, come on, give him some praise. And when you do that, all of a sudden, life begins producing you because there's no weighing down of your conscience any longer, because now, before God, you have a clean conscience applied by the blood of Jesus Christ, and you're no longer hanging back here, but you're lifted in the very presence and essence of God. Woo! Amen. That's what does, oh my goodness, that's what this grace message does for us. It frees us and drops the chains of all this religiosity and all this stuff that we've had to put up with so long. And when we come into it, it's like walking into a brand new life. It's actually what Jesus meant for us to have many years ago, but we didn't have the revelation. And unfortunately, those we sat under didn't have the revelation. And so we always got a mixture of law and a mixture of grace. But now we're in this third awakening. And this third awakening is bringing the life message of Jesus Christ. This is what Peter said. Listen to what he said here in 1 Peter verse 1, chapter 1, verse 23. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed. Incorruptible seed is like those two palm trees or the seeds over 2,000 years ago. You can plant them and they're still producing. Amen. Through how? Through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. The Word of God planted in us gives life and abides forever. And look what he says, verse 24. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass withereth, and the flower falls away. But verse 25, but the Word of God does what? The Word of God endures forever. Now this is, come on somebody, this is the word which by the gospel, good news, is preached to you. This word, this grace message, this grace word is the word that is incorruptible, amen, and only produces life and not death. Man, hallelujah. Thank God. Hopefully, you have a revelation of all God has for you in this finished work of Jesus. So what do we do? What do we do? How do we just keep it flowing? Here's the secret. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Amen. Here it is. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. How do we lay it aside? We lay it aside by grasping all that grace has for us. And this is how we lay it aside. Look for the next verse. Looking unto who? Unto the world. Unto CNN. Unto Fox News. No, man. Looking unto who? Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. Amen? Throne of God. That's where we're seated at today. One more verse this morning. Look at this over in Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12. Amen? For the word of God is, everybody say living. That word living is zoe. It is to make our living or to make us living. The word of God, this is a derivative of zoe, and it's to make us living. The word of God makes us living. It makes us enjoy living, and it's powerful. I was sitting in a seminary class one day, and I was sitting there, and the professor said, the Word of God isn't alive. I turned to my friend and said, well, he is stupider than I thought. I said, that's just dumb. And my friend turned back to me, who was, you know, he had a revelation. He said, yeah, you're right, dumber than dumb. The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to division of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and as discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You have that living word in you this morning. Let's stand. Praise the Lord. Amen. Come on, give God some praise. Amen. Give him some praise today. Come on. Amen. You have that living word in you. Amen. And it's the regulator between the soul and the spirit. It's our soul rim that gets us messed up most of the time. So how do we get our soul lined back up with the spirit? The word of God. Because the word of God is the divider or the governor between the soul and the spirit. Amen? And once you understand what you have in the spirit by the word of God, it gets your soul rim lined back up and your thinking lined back up with the good thoughts that God has for you. Amen? Hold up your hands today. Let's confess it out loud today. Thank you, Lord. I have the living word in me today. It's powerful. It's working in me. It's working in my life. It's restoring life to me. It's restoring health to me. It is renewing my youth like the eagles. I refuse to get old in my body. I'm going to be strong. I am strong. I am healthy. I am physically fit. Thank you, Lord. This temple is the temple of the Holy Ghost. I honor you with this temple, Lord. Thank you, God, for the goodness of God living in me today. Thank you, Lord. I'm no longer under the law of death, but I'm under grace, which produces life in me. In Jesus' name, I am the healed of the Lord. I am the healed of the Lord. I am the healed of the Lord. Somebody just received that right there. Amen. Praise God. Man, God just did something in you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Say that again with Pastor. I am the healed of the Lord. I refuse any disease to come against my body. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. I am the healed of the Lord. How many receive that right there? Come on, how many receive that? Yeah, hallelujah, come on. Hallelujah. Somebody just really received that this morning, man. You just felt something go out of your body. You felt something go out of your body. Just raise your hand right now. You felt that? Raise your hand. God did something for you. God bless. Anybody else you felt? God bless you. Amen. I know he did. I sensed that this morning. You are the healed of the Lord. Hey, listen, before you go, I want you to find somebody this morning. Listen to me. That you don't know. You've seen them here before, but you don't know them. Or maybe they're brand new. Because we got some brand new folks this morning. But find somebody you don't know and tell them they're in the right place today. Would you do that? Come on. Find somebody you don't know. Tell them you're in the right place today. You are loved. Bring somebody back with you next week. Amen.